Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lawrence Holmes here, weekdays noon to 2, reminding you that you can listen to The Score remotely on your laptop or your mobile device through the Radio.com app, or just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. You can always count on us to cover the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans, because we're live and we're local. So listen to The Lawrence Holmes Show, weekdays noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's been tough. It's been hell, really. I wouldn't say hell. It's just been hectic, you know, carrying his weight and carrying his burden. I wouldn't really say burden either. I'm proud to stand where I'm at and carry a new face. Look at this. First time's right here from Atlanta. That is so cool. The sport is changing. The deal that happened yesterday, sorry I'm not wearing my mask, but I wanted to show whoever it was that you're not going to take away my smile, and I'm going to keep on going. I've been a part of this sport for a really long time. I'm still kind of a rookie, starting to figure this plate stuff out. We had a good race going today in our Victory Junction Chevrolet, but man, I know I should have won that damn race. We ran out of gas. just the stars didn't align for us completely, but all in all, we won today.
Indeed, that is Bubba Wallace, who is going to be remembered someday as an influential sports figure. He's the guy who asked NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag, and they did. He's also the guy whose team found a noose hanging in his garage, and NASCAR responded in kind yesterday by marching with him, by every driver getting out of his car and helping to push his car to the front in a symbolic show of force and solidarity for the right side of history. And there's a lot going on when we talk about this sport and its history. And here to give us some insight is Jordan Bianchi, the motorsports reporter of The Athletic. And he's on the Albemonte Ford Hotline, Albemonte Ford in Melrose Park. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course. What happened yesterday? What will we look back on 20, 30 years from now? What will have mattered most?
As bad as Sunday was, as horrific as Sunday was, as Sunday was a moment that you never want to see happen. You thought as a country we had moved past this. And you would ask me on Monday, I thought this was going to be something that I didn't think NASCAR was ever going to be able to come back from. And it was always going to have a black eye from this moment. And this was always just going to be there. Oh, this happened at a NASCAR race in 2020. I was convinced of that. But after yesterday and everything that happened with all of the drivers and the teams coming together, you know, solidarity and surrounding Bubba and showing their respect for him and what's going on in this country, I don't think people are going to be talking about Sunday 20, 30 years from now. I think they're going to be talking about what happened yesterday before the race, because that is a moment that is going to live on for a long, long time.
What did Richard Petty's presence mean?
A lot, for a couple of reasons. One, he's an 82-year-old man. I mean, he's not supposed to be at the racetrack. He's been home. Two, he's NASCAR's old guard. He represents a time in NASCAR, fair or not, when NASCAR was not the most diverse sport. And Petty's had a complicated history himself with comments about women, about people kneeling for the national anthem. But in the last, 6 months to a year, his opinion on social change has started to evolve more and more, and especially in the last few weeks. And when he saw what had happened on Sunday with the noose hanging in the garage, he made it very clear, I'm going to be at Talladega. I don't care that I'm 82 years old. I don't care that I'm not supposed to be there. I'm going to be there standing next to my driver supporting him. It was a big thing.
So let's discuss where the sport goes from here. And having gotten here, apparently reports were that despite their official ban of the Confederate flag, that there were multiple iterations of it around the speedway, parking lot, etc. I don't know how this is going to be enforceable and how they're going to deal with the spasm of defiance that's inevitable, even with somebody actually paying $15,000 or whatever it is to fly the flag over, hiring a plane to drag a version of it over everybody. It's obviously not going away no matter what they want to do. What are the next steps? How do they make it real? How do they purge racism from their fans?
That's a great question. And I think that's the important question that needs to be asked today, tomorrow, and every day going forward. Because as great as yesterday was, you need more of that. It has to go beyond just symbolic gestures. And NASCAR's done a lot of great things in the last few weeks. They've banned the Confederate flag. We saw Bubba Wallace had a Black Lives Matter paint scheme a few races ago. Everything that happened yesterday. But there has to be real consequential change. And you're right. I mean, there were Confederate flags at Talladega Super Speedway. Now, a lot of them were outside of the grounds, and NASCAR can't police that. But when fans start coming to the racetrack in droves, and we're going to have 30,000 fans at Bristol next month, what happens when those fans have flags? What happens when, you know, campers are allowed back in the infield and there's 100,000 people at a racetrack and people are flying flags? How is NASCAR going to enforce that? Now, they have said they're going to be very diligent about it and vigilant, and they're going to tell those people that they have to take the flag down, and if they don't, they're going to be asked to leave. But you have to have action, and until that action happens, there's going to be questions about this, because in 2015, NASCAR tried to ban the Confederate flag, but it was kind of a soft ban. It was kind of we'd prefer you not to fly it. Here's what we can do to kind of help you take that down. But they didn't really do it. They didn't force it. And in fact, it actually kind of compelled people to rebel and say, you know what, you can't tell us what to do. And so now NASCAR is going to have to stay on top of this. And they're going to have to show that they're serious about this. I think they are. I think the leadership that NASCAR has has made that very clear. And there's reason to believe them. But until it actually happens, there's going to be doubt.
You know what my worry is, and this is probably just me, the way my mind works, but in the situation that you describe, there is an RV in the infield flying the flag, and NASCAR says they got a guy with binoculars or they got drones going over, and say, okay, so one of our officials is going to go down and talk to that person. They go down and talk, and the guy says, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not going to stop flying my flag, and there's nothing you can do about it. And my worry is, are we at the next Waco or Ruby Ridge, where somebody who's sitting in a camper, absolutely armed to the teeth, decides that I'm in charge of my domain, and you aren't going to do anything to stop me?
I agree with your premise of what you're saying. As I am worried that there's going to be a confrontation at some point. I actually feel it's inevitable at some point. You know, if you look at, you know, you go to Daytona International Speedway, they got the Daytona 500. You walk in there, you can't turn your head without seeing a Confederate flag. Same at Talladega, same at Darlington. That is a fact. And there are some people who are very adamant that they're not taking down their flag, and I do think it's going to lead to a confrontation at some point. I will say that NASCAR doesn't allow guns and weapons inside the racetrack. We know that that doesn't always prevent people from bringing in guns and weapons places, and you hope it doesn't escalate to that level. But there is a concern that there's going to be some kind of clash where somebody says, I'm not taking this down, you can't make me. And if NASCAR stays true to its word and says, no, you have to leave, you know, we're going to throw, you know, you're going to be arrested otherwise, I'm worried.
Yeah, I mean, how do you play that out? How are they going to do it? At some point, it gets pretty difficult to do. You're not going to, I mean, you can't airlift an RV out of there from some packed infield area.
What you can do, though, is it is private property. it is 100% private property. This isn't a public ground where people are gathering. So it is, they are trespassing at that point. And at that point, the police can be called, and they say, you either leave or you're being arrested because you're trespassing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything because we have seen that before, but you would hope that the police can be able to control the situation, and then they can either arrest them or escort them out, and then they can do whatever they need to do with the RV. But again, it's a situation that I think is going to come to a head at some point, but that's far down the road. The one thing I will say, too, is there are no fans really, for the most part, in large numbers at racetracks right now, especially not in the infield where you do see a lot of the flags. Hopefully, as NASCAR continues this movement and becomes more progressive, when NASCAR when fans are able to come back and be in the infield, hopefully NASCAR's kind of gone past this point and people are kind of embracing this. And the people that want to fly that flag are fewer and fewer and don't feel like they're welcome at the racetrack anymore because they shouldn't be.
How does the sport balance the essence of its existence, which was, as you well know, sure, moonshiners running from revenueers building out their stock cars and hearing legends of this guy's got the fastest one in the Smoky Mountains. Well, let's just have that out at a race. Let's go to the dirt track and see who really can outrun the revenueers. And there is that kind of spirit, of countercultural spirit,
sure,
that has imbued NASCAR, that's made it different and special and rebellious. How does it become anti-racist? How does it evolve in a way that can even pay, or should it, or should it get away from that because of so much of that land and so much of the history was created by and rooted in slavery and racism? I don't have a good answer.
I don't either. I will say this. I think there's a way, and it's not easy, and this is probably a simplistic view. I do think there's a way to celebrate NASCAR's outlaw roots. The fact that it was a sport founded on bootlegging and running away from, you know, federal agents in the hills of, you know, North Carolina and Georgia. And I think there's a way to celebrate that and also say, and I think the drivers have to be at the forefront of this, and say, you know what, that's our past. That is what we are. That's what we were back then. But today, we are still daredevils. We're just daredevils in a different way. But this sport today, the way it is not what it used to be then. It's much more progressive. It's much more open. And if you're a person of color and you're coming to a race, you're going to feel welcome because when you look around, you're not going to see a Confederate flag any longer. It's not easy to do, but I do think it can happen.
And where has it, let's rewind the clock pre-coronavirus and pre-awakening of the country, mm-hmm, to some of these social issues, this swift evolution. How okay was NASCAR's business in general?
Television ratings were down to flat. Attendance was the same. You know, some weeks were good, some weeks were okay. NASCAR was trying to reassert itself in the sports landscape. It certainly was not. It's not nearly as popular as it was, you know, back in 2004, 2005, when it was having television ratings rivaling the NFL. But it certainly was doing well for itself. But it was certainly at a sport in transition. It's trying to figure out where it wants to go. It has been something. There's been great change that's been needed in the sport for many years. Those changes were coming. But this coronavirus and everything that's happened because of it has really kind of forced NASCAR's hand in a lot of respects. And now they're having to do things that they had been talking about doing for a long time, but were reluctant to doing. And I actually do think NASCAR is going to be in a better spot because of this, because they have actually been able to turn lemons in a really bad situation and made lemonade out of it. And they've realized that some of these ideas that people have been talking about that they were reluctant to do are actually home run ideas. And the success that they've had over the last few weeks with these ideas have turned out really positive. So they've got a little bit of a foundation here to continue to make changes. And I think in 2021, you're going to see some of those changes implemented on a full-time basis. And NASCAR then will have a platform to kind of continue its regrowth.
Last question for you, and appreciate the time. How important is it that Bubba Wallace is good and that he wins?
I think it's important. I think at the end of the day, when people turn into a race, they see Bubba Wallace and, you know, he finishes 20th. Well, you know, that honestly is a good finish for Bubba Wallace. Not because he's not a good driver. He is a good driver. He drives for a team in Richard Petty Motorsports that frankly isn't one of the top teams. They don't have a lot of money. Their resources aren't very good. But if you're a casual to, you know, very, very casual fan, and you tune into a race and you see Bubba Wallace finish 20th, maybe you don't have the understanding of what's going on with his team. I think But if that team can become better, or Bubba can join a big team and start winning races and becoming more of a recognizable name, that is a big thing, because the more Bubba wins, the more attention he's going to get. And he has a great personality. He's got one of those crossover personalities that we've seen from a Jeff Gordon and a Dale Earnhardt Jr., who are able to kind of make themselves national sports icons. But you have to win to be able to do that, and that's the next thing that Bubba has to do.
Really appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That is Jordan Bianchi, the motorsports reporter from The Athletic. And that leads us up to the midday midway. We have one of my favorite things, which is an archaeological discovery that I found fascinating. We have a very famous rock band that is doing something for the public good. And we'll examine all those things and more coming back next. The midday midway is on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.